praise to the eternal King. O Lord, direct, control this day all I design or do or say, that all my powers with all their might in thy sole glory may unite. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him.
Welcome to our service on this second Sunday before Advent. We follow the order of Holy Communion. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth stand in awe of him. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. May perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
People on earth,
of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ with the
Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and has consecrated his guests. At that time I will serve Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter, the warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry, against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind. Because they have sinned against the Lord, their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them. On the day of the Lord's wrath, in the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
While we remain seated, we will say Psalm 123 by alternate division of verses. To you I lift up my eyes.
To you who have enthroned in the heavens.
As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master,
or the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress,
so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God.
Have mercy upon us,
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
For we have had more than enough of contempt.
Our soul had more than enough of the scorn of the arrogant.
And of the contempt of the proud.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of our Lord will come, like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of day. We are not of the night or of darkness, so then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep us awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and for those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, and let us put the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
The one who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the gospel of the Lord. Most of the time, these little fictions we pass off as truth don't come from a place of malice, quite the opposite. We tell ourselves stories about why one grocery shop is better than another, or why this make of car is superior to that make of car, or why our bowling team is the best team in the league. And to some degree, that's simply a part of who we are. We tell ourselves these things in order to build a sense of identity and character. But these aren't the only tall tales we try and trick ourselves into believing. One more credit card won't bankrupt me. One innocent little office flirtation won't hurt my marriage. God doesn't really love me. Then, before we know it, the very things of which we've convinced ourselves turn out to be the lies that destroy us. And although we are well acquainted with this phenomenon here in the 21st century, it isn't a new thing. In the days of the prophet Zephaniah, the people of Israel had got into the habit of convincing themselves that perceptions were true and facts were false. God doesn't care about us, they said. God is off doing other things. What business is it of God's how I conduct myself? What God doesn't do won't hurt me. We can't trust God to protect us, they lamented. We've got to take charge and protect ourselves. God won't make us happy, they scoffed. Our mansions and our wealth and our powers over other people, those will make us happy. But Zephaniah did what prophets do and spoke the unwelcome and hard-hitting truth to a people who were convinced otherwise. The voice of God rushes forth hotly from the lips of Zephaniah. I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their graves. Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. For the great day of the Lord is near. Near and hastening fast. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a full, terrible end, he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. At the core of Zephaniah's prophetic poetry is a message so shockingly clear that it all but slaps us in the face. The people of Zephaniah's day thought that God wasn't a relevant relic of a bygone era, whose supremacy has once and for all been eclipsed by the attainment of the pinnacle of human knowledge. Those who lived in Zephaniah's day considered themselves free to do and act as they pleased, looking out chiefly for themselves, and then, and only then, maybe, if they got around to it, they might consider doing something magnanimous for someone else, because it would make them feel good. Does that sound familiar? Zephaniah proclaims the truth that people in his day and our own have exchanged for a lie. Life is beyond our control, and the more we try to control it, the more uncontrollable. An oil refinery explodes halfway around the world. We read about the environmental costs and the billions of pounds paid in reparations, but we don't know anybody who knows anybody who works for them. So it might seem like that it's not our problem. We've got everything sorted out in our well-managed, tightly controlled lives. So we think. But then we realize that the fish we're feeding our families comes from that region. Oil and toxins seep into the bedrock and pollute streams and rivers and growing fields hundreds of miles away, where the produce that stocks our refrigerators is grown. The retirement plan we enrolled in, trying to secure our future, is heavily invested. the single market and customs union in the European Union at the end of the transition period. Yes, that is what the United Kingdom as a whole voted for. That was the country's choice. That's how democracy works. But how does that affect us now in Northern Ireland? The issue of the border scarcely figured in the 2016 referendum campaign. Subsequent concerns about a no-deal withdrawal, particularly for Northern Ireland, were dismissed as scaremongering. And now, Parliament at Westminster, the mother of parliaments, is being asked to approve the unthinkable in reneging on a previous binding agreement and breaking international law. The more we try to anesthetize ourselves into believing that we've got it all figured out, the deeper the truth cuts when the facts are made bare. But wait a moment. Zephaniah is a tiny, three-chapter minor prophet wedged in near the end of the Hebrew Bible. In the entire three-year cycle of the lectionary, we hear a reading from it three times. Most of us probably can't even remember ever hearing a sermon preached from Zephaniah. So can he really be all that important? Well, as it turns out, Jesus was a preacher after Zephaniah's own heart. He tells a parable about slaves who are given gifts in different amounts. And although we are quick to equate these so-called talents with money, the parable could just as easily have spoken of kindness or creativity or generosity. The slaves who take their gifts and use them to offer other creative, elaborate, and much-needed blessings in the world around them are rewarded when the master returns. But the one who takes what has been given to him and hoards it up only for himself is condemned. If we can find a way to sort through all the advertising and the marketing and the perception, we arrive at the truth that both Zephaniah and Jesus are desperately trying to tell us. Our vocation is not to try to be in control of the universe. Rather, our vocation as followers of the God we meet in Jesus is to share the abundance of grace and mercy and love that has been entrusted to us. We are commanded to plant seeds of generosity, knowing full well that we may never see a return on our investment. We are commanded to show kindness to people who do not deserve it. We are commanded to love those who try their hardest to be unlovable and to forgive those who have gone out of their way to be unforgivable. The day of the Lord that Zephaniah and Jesus proclaim does not have to be a doom and gloom end of the world scenario. For those who receive their God-given gifts with humility and then go and share them with the world, the day of the Lord is a day of rejoicing, a day when our world has long been turned upside down by greed and oppression and hate, and will be set right by peace and justice and love. The question is, what will we, you and I, do with all that has been given to us? Will we keep it locked up and hidden away under the bed? Or will we take a risk and open our hearts?
We believe in one God. The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, may all who confess your name be faithful stewards of what has been entrusted to them. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop, for this group of parishes and the parish of Ballyhome, also the rector, Canon Simon Dugan, as well as Christians in every neighbourhood and community. We pray for the Reverend Canon Dr. Ian Ellis, elected this past week as Bishop of Clogher. May your Holy Spirit inspire us to pray, to give, to love, to serve, and to proclaim the gospel, that the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, may be glorified in all the world. As we look for the coming of Christ, we pray that the church on earth may always ready to become one with the Church of the Blessed in heaven. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of creation, where business is done on the world, drive out all dishonesty and self-seeking. Bring to all people the knowledge that this world is not the end. Working for the present good, let our eyes be lifted to the future. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Brandon Lewis, and the government. The First Minister, Arlene Foster, the Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. We pray for all in positions of responsibility in government and on health authorities, that they may make that they may make appropriate steps for the good of all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of our relationships, draw into your service all in our community that may be used for the coming of your kingdom. May our scientific community, leading the charge to understand the coronavirus disease, be given knowledge and wisdom to discover a viable vaccine. May the media, committed to providing up-to-date information, communicate with appropriate seriousness without causing panic. May Christian missionaries throughout the world, especially with high rates of infection, be provided by you with words of hope and equipped to love and serve those around them. Bless us in our families with shared love and loyalty at all times. Make us more considerate of others and more appreciative of those who work for the good of this community. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering, and in particular, Ian Douglas. Be with those who have been infected by coronavirus, that you may help and heal by sustaining bodies and spirits and contain the spread of infection. Protect our elderly and vulnerable people, especially those with mental health challenges who feel isolated, anxious, and helpless. Help us provide them with every necessary support. Give the young and strong the necessary caution to keep them from unwittingly spreading the disease and inspire them to help. We pray for the homeless, unable to practice the protocols of social distancing in the shelter system. Protect them from disease and provide shelters in our cities and in all centres of population. Have mercy on those who have not fulfilled the best that is in them, hindered by circumstance or self-doubt. Rouse them to be active in doing your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, we remember all who have come to their last day and passed into new life, confident that, waking or sleeping, we are with Christ. We pray that we shall always be ready to hear his call. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood. Sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We sing the hymn, "Come, Lord, and meet us in this holy hour."
Refresh.
us from our sins, and as we contemplate our glorious things, bend our sadness into joy and praise. Lord, our provider, when the feast is spread, furnished with wine and everlasting bread, fill us with goodness, strengthen us.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
you are the bread of my life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord
Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying,
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, Giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing.
God of power and might.
Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Please ask those of you who wish to receive communion, would you stand in your pews? Gracious Lord, in this holy sacrament you give substance to our hope. Bring us at the last to that pure life for which we long, through Jesus Christ, our Saviour.
Amen.
Almighty God,
we
thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory.
God, which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
All your treasures bring.